And finally, the bishops of New Zealand have begun their ad limina visits here in Rome. During their stay, they will have meetings with the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples and Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, among others. Archbishop John Doo of Wellington is president of New Zealand's Bishops' Conference. He spoke to us about the challenges the church in his country is facing.
New Zealand is a small country. It's only a population of just 4.4 million. And the church is, Catholics are about 15% of the total population. But at the same time, even though we're small, we're quite visible, especially, I think, through the Catholic school system. We have 65,000 pupils in our Catholic schools, and our school system is recognised as being vital in providing very good education. Catholics are prominent in civic life, in national and local body politics, and in various professions, and that is recognised that Catholics are well educated and therefore hold some prominent positions in, as I say, in national and local body politics. The country is marked by a growing ethnic diversity. There have always been waves of immigrants coming to New Zealand, sort of straight after the war, or for many years actually, English, Irish, Italian, Dutch, and then after the Second World War, big waves of people from the Pacific Islands, from Samoa, Cook Islands, Tonga, and some of the smaller island nations. And then in recent years, a lot more immigrants from Asian countries, certainly Filipinos, Koreans, African countries, and Middle Eastern countries. So all of those people, there are smaller numbers of them in our parishes in our diocese, but they are making a significant impact on the life of the church. Main challenges, I suppose, how to be present for us in a growing secularised society. It's often spoken of that we are a very secular country, so that is a challenge. We have a national bioethics centre, and that's engaged in a lot of issues around consistent ethic of life. We've just recently set up a national Catholic tertiary institution called the Catholic Institute of Aotearoa New Zealand. And the point of that is it's so that we can coordinate our teaching staff. There are only six dioceses, so to coordinate our teaching staff, but also to be a centre for research and to speak out on issues of morality and politics, and to be present sort of in the medical field and with politicians and decision makers. Staffing of parishes continues to be a big challenge for us because of the dwindling number of active clergy with an aging clergy. We are beginning to get some vocations from some of the Asian immigrants who have come here. But that continues to be a challenge. And I suppose just the integrating or the whole process of enculturating and welcoming those people into our parishes. There's some of the challenges and a little bit about the church.
In fact, one of the themes of the Synod for Oceania was enculturation. What progress has been made in this field?
I think we have made some good progress. There's always been a big dialogue with the Maori population, the indigenous population. Of course, the first missionaries came here to serve the Maori people. Our new missal is published in, not completely in Maori, but there's a lot of the Maori language throughout the new missal, which bishops were committed to because we believed it was a very good signal of our bicultural relationship with the Maori. So enculturation and liturgy, also in theology and spirituality, the Maori have values which are the Maori words, mana, tika, and pono, which I guess we describe as the dignity and the value of the human person, example, recently at a big seminar on euthanasia, the Maori just said, but how could you even think of that? You know, there's this deep respect. So that's one of their values that we're trying to instill in society. Those are the kind of things. The other area of enculturation is the integration of those other ethnic minority groups which have recently arrived in New Zealand. We keep looking for ways that value and enhance the gift of religious and cultural values that they bring. And in actual fact, I had a meeting just last Sunday with 9 different ethnic groups, and it was very enriching in, you know, trying to say to them, as part of our parishes and part of our dioceses, we want to welcome you, we want you to be using those gifts and enhancing it and enriching our parishes, parish and diocesan communities. And then I suppose a third area of enculturation is just that ongoing dialogue with secular society. How do we speak the gospel there? How do we make gospel values known? And just trying to influence society by speaking openly of gospel values through sort of story and metaphor. Often the religious language doesn't immediately impact on people once you tell the stories and the values behind it. So there's some of the things. I think we're probably fairly proud, I suppose, of some of the ways that the Pacific Islanders have been integrated. Well, we've used their culture in many of our liturgies. There's some wonderfully powerful things. And, of course, that even happened at the Synod for Oceania. The opening and closing liturgies were very much a lot of Polynesian presence there, Samoan, Maori, which really had an impact.
Next year sees the Synod for the New Evangelization call for by Pope Benedict XVI. How urgent is new evangelization in a secular society like New Zealand, and what role can be played by lay people in the local church to contribute to new evangelization?
Sure. We've seen that as a wonderful opportunity, and at our councils of priests and our diocesan pastoral councils, really said this is a wonderful opportunity for us, the whole theme of new evangelization. Our clergy are saying that the wonderful opportunities that are there at times of weddings and baptisms and funerals, where a lot of people, you know, who might be baptized but really haven't really been catechized or evangelized. We've asked lay people to pick up the theme of Pope Benedict's Year of Faith, and we've looked at linea menta for the synod, and he talks about 6 areas. I know that one is politics, I think one is enculturation, we've proposed that we might run some seminars and invite some speakers to talk on those topics, so that theme of the new evangelization comes through there. We do see it as vital and extremely necessary, and we'll be doing all we can to promote the new evangelization.
Looking now perhaps more specifically at one of the areas you already touched on, which is young people and youth ministry, have World Youth Days had any impact in New Zealand, particularly thinking of Sydney 2008 perhaps, and have they given a boost to vocations in the country or even commitment to church life?
I think Sydney was a wonderful wonderful experience for us. We had 4,000 pilgrims went across from New Zealand to Australia, which is no mean feat for a small country like this. It was, in actual fact, it was the biggest number of young people, biggest exodus of young people since the Second World War that had ever left New Zealand. And before that, we also hosted days in the diocese. It's usually, you know, by one country, but we had permission from the Pontifical Council to host. So we had about 3,000 international pilgrims here for days in the diocese. And that had an enormous impact on the life on the communities, and I think on the life of young people. I do believe that they are much more involved in the church through youth ministry, and is, I think there's a small increase in vocations. It's hard to tell whether it's specifically because of World Youth Day, but some of the young men that I've spoken to have picked up their thoughts about a vocation from being at World Youth Day. I've also taken groups to other World Youth Days. The most wonderful experience for me was World Youth Day in Rome, but I also went to Toronto. And I think for our young people, one of the things that seems to always happen is we didn't know that there were so many young people who are enthusiastic and keen about their faith, and that gives them a great boost to be with so many other young people from around the world and to be able to say, you know, that they can be proud to be Catholic. So World Youth Days have had a great impact, I think, on the life of the church.
Finally, let's look at the ecumenical relations in New Zealand. As you said, Catholics are a minority, but Christianity, I believe, is the majority religion in New Zealand. What are your relations with the other religious communities?
The bishops, we meet on a regular basis with the Anglican bishops, and we have a meeting once a year. Some of the mainline churches, Presbyterian, Anglican, Methodist, Salvation Army, and ourselves, have set up what we call the New Zealand Council of Christian Social Services, where we look at a lot of social justice issues in the country, and that's a very good area of cooperating at the work level. Each year there's the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, just held between the Ascension and Pentecost, and that's always well supported. Each year on Ash Wednesday, most of the Anglican and Catholic parishes have a joint Ash Wednesday distribution of the ashes. Sometimes at Christmas time, Advent time, this time of the year, there's also a joint service. There's also ongoing discussions about the whole question of Christian unity. It's difficult with some of the more Pentecostal fundamental churches, but that dialogue for Christian unity does actually continue. And the Bishops' Conference has a committee, a committee for ecumenism, with some very good people working on it. And while this is not ecumenical, the Bishops' Conference also set up a committee for interfaith relations, which is also working really well. So there are some good things happening.
You're listening to Vatican Radio.